Guys, we are jumping into a brand new series, and so if you got your Bibles, you got your journals, go ahead and pull those out, because we are going to be taking notes throughout the course of these next few weeks, because you remember what you write. And so we want you to have a Bible in front of you and a journal in front of you. So as we start, guys, we're starting a brand new series called More Than a Feeling, and we, this morning, are talking about the topic of sex. Yes, some of you guys gasp, and I know that's true, and it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this, but we're talking about that topic this morning because the Bible talks a lot about it, and here's what I know. Listen in. The temptation is for you to nudge your neighbor, make a joke, to make somebody laugh, to think you're funny, but reality is, man, we want to treat this topic with importance because we believe it's valuable. And so if that's you, you want to distract your neighbor, we're going to ask you to kindly step out if you cannot handle this maturely, because we believe this is really valuable to talk about, as I said. And so we want to do that. As we send an email to your parents and your leaders, and they know we're talking about it this morning. So if you're new here, I want to say welcome. This is a great time to be at Wake. And we're excited to share with y'all this morning. And so as we set up our time, I want to start by telling you guys about a TV show that I've seen a few times. I think it's pretty. It's got a great premise, but it's called The Voice. Has everyone seen The Voice? Yeah. It's a great TV show. And so if you've never seen it, the premise of this show is basically contestants will jump on and they'll perform a song, kind of like American Idol. And what they'll do is they'll sing. And as you can see on this picture, the judges are going to have their back turned to whoever's performing. And so what happens is they can only listen to voices that are singing. And then if they find the right voice, they'll turn their chair and pick them. And so they'll hear a ton of different voices, and they have to pick the right voice. And I think that show is a great illustration, a picture of what our culture is telling you about sex, that you are getting so many voices around you that are lying to you about this idea and topic of sex. You're getting basically misinformation or confusing messages or incomplete definitions of what sex is. And my goal this morning is to teach you what voice to turn to. That John 8:32 says that we should know the truth, and the truth will set us free. That there is one voice that leads to security, freedom, and joy when we follow it. In a world full of voices that lie to you, we want to teach you how to turn to the one voice that's true. And that path always leads to freedom. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning and teach you about that. And as we set up our time, I'm going to address a few different groups of people in the room. Because in a room this size, a lot of us are coming out at this with different experiences or an understanding. So the first group of people is somebody who's maybe really never really talked about this much or had any experience with this much. My goal for you guys is to equip you and empower you to embrace this culture. Well, that if I say something that you're not really sure about, I'm encouraging you guys to go talk to your parents about it or your leader about it, because we want to define it at church. We believe the church is the safest place to talk about this subject. And other of you, some of you guys, if you have been exposed to this area of sex and sexual content, and maybe you're kind of uncomfortable in your chair, maybe your heart's kind of beating because maybe you have some guilt and some shame attached to this idea. Maybe you've seen some pornographic image, or maybe you've seen something on your phone or something on a movie that really just makes you uncomfortable. You're not really sure what to do with. And the last group I want to talk about is the group that's had, maybe abuse or sexual abuse is maybe a part of your story. And we want you guys to know, that God loves you, that we love you, that the best place to be is here, because God always offers healing to every part of your story. So I hope only you hear is grace, and you're met with the grace and beauty of the gospel. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to pray as we start our time, and then we'll go ahead and jump in. So bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we have the opportunity to talk about things that are in your word. Thank you that you have outlined clearly your desire for us in this area. I pray we wouldn't walk away confused, but confident that you have equipped us and know how to handle this and given us a good design that is good. I pray we'd walk towards it and not be distracted. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So the reason I'm passionate about this topic is because this is a part of my story. I was about your age when I was confused in this area. And what happened was, is that the church I was a part of didn't really address it. And when the church doesn't address the topic of sex, what happens is you leave the culture to define it. And that led to confusion, to doubt, to shame, a part of my story. And I didn't have a full picture of what this looked like. And so we want to give you guys a full picture of what God says about this area. And so why are we specifically talking about this? You might be thinking, hey, this isn't relevant to my life. This doesn't really apply to me. But here's what I want you to know, that sex is everywhere. Like in our culture, it is on center stage, that you are surrounded by it. When I talk about sex, I'm talking about sexual jokes, sexual images, things that you could see on your phone. This, I'm not just talking about the physical act. That our culture has popularized it, where you are surrounded by it, where you can go to different movies, TV shows, apps, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. The music that you can listen to, even if you just like the beat, sometimes has suggestive lyrics that talk about this idea of sex, where it implies this message. And the problem is, if you aren't equipped to embrace it with God's word, what happens is that the current of culture will confuse you with half-truths and incomplete definitions of God's desire. And so we don't want you to be drawn away into the current of culture, but we want you to be anchored in God's word. And that's our goal, that you wouldn't see the lies of culture. You would see the truth of God's word. And so we're going to be talking this morning about five purposes of God's good design for sex. And as we jump into this, I'm going to give you 5 points. I think the temptation can be, hey, I'm just going to hear this as a list of do's and don'ts or rules and requirements. And here's where I want to stop. This is the most important part of my message, is that that's not the case for this message. That God's heart for you is to always lead you towards his best. That God has your best interest in mind, on his heart. That he wants to lead you towards his best. Psalm 84:11 just says that no good thing does he withhold to those who walk with him. So he's simply asking, do you trust me? Do you trust me in every area of your life that I will lead you towards the best? And that's, he can see farther than we can. And that's what he wants for our life. So that's what I want to start before we fully jump in. And so here's what I want you to know, is that sex is created by God. Sex is created by God. If I were to ask the question, what do you think God thinks about sex? I think I'd probably get 3 answers. I think I'd get, I don't know, I don't care, or just don't have it till you're married. And I think those answers will probably reveal some of our shallow definitions, or that the idea that we just don't understand the full picture of God's heart in this area. We don't understand the full definition, full picture that God created. And because he designed it, he gets to define it. And since God in his very nature is good, therefore sex is good. But what the devil does is he always twists what God made good. And so we want you to understand that it's good. But what culture does is they twist it and makes it think it's something that's bad. And so we want to give you a context and a picture of where God has placed this idea and this topic of sex. Here's what it says in Genesis 1:27 and 28. This is the creation mandate. So when God created the earth in the first chapter of the Bible, here's what he says. He says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. This means, what he's saying is that, hey, that God had sex in mind when he created the earth. That it was on his mind. It was on the top of his mind. And so that's why we need to have that filter, that lens, when we talk about these next 5 things. So if you're taking notes, here's what I want you to write down. The first purpose of God's good design for sex is this, that sex is meant for marriage. Sex is meant for marriage. Now, I think most of you are not probably getting married anytime soon, but I want you to understand this value, this picture of what I'm saying here. Is that sex is not something that's gross or disgusting or nasty. God designed it to be beautiful and sacred and amazing in his good design, something that fuels marriage relationships. Jesus talks about this a lot, and he quotes Genesis and Matthew 19. He's addressing a group of people, and he talks about this idea of one flesh, meaning the union of marriage. And here's what he says in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. He says, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So if they're no longer two but one, therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate.'" So what he's saying here is that Jesus is telling us that sex belongs in marriage because it's supposed to be a part of something that can never be broken. He intended to be powerful, to bond people together. And what the culture will tell you is that sex is just casual or it's just physical. But reality, what Jesus is saying here is no, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's physical. It combines all those things to bond people together. And in the right context, it's beautiful. Outside of the wrong context or the right context, it's destructive. I think a great way to illustrate this is in my pocket, I have a candle right here and a lighter, all right? And so I think the picture that would really best illustrate this is through the picture of fire. So I'm gonna light this on stage. Everyone be careful. Here we go. So there we go. So on stage, so you can see a candle is usually used as kind of for a birthday party to celebrate or gather around. It's really a symbol of celebration. Or what a candle can do is, or light can do is can light a path and create security. Or if I threw this fire into a fireplace, what happens would, it would create warmth, comfortability. Like all these things are the right context for fire. But what would happen if I just threw this on the ground? Or I lit my hair on fire. Or I threw this in a forest. Like this fire that's beautiful and is designed to create security, comfort, and warmth would quickly become destructive. Why? Because the power of this fire really needs boundaries. It needs parameters. That's what Jesus is saying, is something good needs parameters. It needs a place to land. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about sex belongs in the context of a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. So I hope that doesn't smell, but I'm going to blow that out right there and put it right there. And so that's the first point I want to make, is that sex is meant for marriage. So as we move on, the second purpose I want to get across as we talk about this idea is that sex is meant for man and woman. So I think this is really a controversial topic in today's culture, that people will look at this and they'll say, hey, this is outdated or restricted, that people will say this. Here's what the culture says about sex. The world's plan for sex is do whatever you want, when you want, with whoever you want. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God has created man and woman to complete each other, to connect with each other. He's made certain body parts to connect with each other for a reason, for a specific purpose. And he has a purpose in it all. In Genesis 2, we see a picture of how God created sex. And I want you to think about this, that God could have created, have new life form in the earth in multiple different ways. Like literally he could have a baby just vanish or just appear out of thin air or just fall into your lap. But no, God specifically designed man and woman to create new life in the form of sex. And that's what he did. It's beautiful and it has a purpose. Here's what it says in Genesis 2, verses 20 through 24, talking about man and woman. But from Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the piece with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be created woman, for this was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife." These are the boundaries that God has set. And here's what I want you guys to understand about boundaries. Because we could hear boundaries and think rules, but I want to give you a picture of what the boundaries God's created is. That God does not give us boundaries to punish us, but to protect us. Let me say that again so we hear it, we write it down. That God does not give us boundaries to punish us, but to protect us. God is never trying to steal our joy, to keep us from something, but he's trying to save us for something better. Boundaries are always for our benefit. In my home, what we do is we've really safety-proofed or kid-proofed our house. And so we've put these child locks on certain doors or certain cabinets in our house, specifically the medicine cabinet and the cleaning supplies. Because if my son opens those cabinets and he sees a bottle of Windex, he's going to think that's blue Gatorade, right? Because his curiosity is going to lead him to something destructive. Or if he opens the medicine cabinet, he's going to see Tylenol and think this is some kind of cherry juice and drink it. And what happens is his curiosity is going to lead him towards something dangerous. We as parents, as loving parents, have to set ground rules, parameters, boundaries, not to punish him because we're trying to keep him from something, but to protect him, to protect him. And that's God's interest in your lives, is he always creates boundaries in order to protect us, in order to give us more life and experience his best for our life. And so that's my second point, is that marriage is between a man and a woman. As I'm going on a third point, here we go, is that sex is meant for mutual intimacy and enjoyment. Sex is meant for mutual intimacy and enjoyment. That this is really one of the most unifying things that an individual can do. That God created our bodies to desire it, and it's good. It's good, as I keep talking about, in the right context. Like when you have sex, your body releases a chemical called oxytocin that bonds you together with another individual. And so it's a bonding element. It creates a lasting impression in our mind. And what science says is saying, what science is finally making clear is what God made clear a long time ago, is that it bonds you together with another person. It's something to be enjoyed. Proverbs 5 talks about this. It says in Proverbs 5, let your wife be a fount of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Talking about you should enjoy sex in the context of marriage. Genesis 2:24 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united. We already quoted this earlier. And his wife. And they will become one flesh. Meaning it creates a powerful bond. And that's what happens. So sex is intended to be permanent, to create a bond with somebody else, to form a lasting impression in our mind. The reason that you don't remember the first time you had potato chips, the first time you brushed your teeth, is because it's different. And that's because sex creates a lasting impression. It creates an impression on our minds and our hearts and our souls because it's emotional, it's physical, and it's spiritual. I think a good way that I'd really illustrate this is one of my favorite inventions of all time, and I think it's super valuable because I don't know how to fix anything, is the invention of duct tape. Who's used duct tape before? I mean, this can solve every problem in your life because duct tape can truly fix anything. Because I can't fix anything. I try to go on YouTube and I just make things worse. So it's super valuable. But the picture I want to illustrate here is what duct tape does. The purpose of it is to you apply it, and what it does is it bonds to something to make it stick. And its intention is not to be removed from an object. Its intention is to stay attached to that object. And once you remove it, it loses some of its stickiness. And what God is saying in this passage to us is that what sex does is it attaches us to an individual. And it's meant to bond us, to connect us, and to not be removed. And not to go towards multiple relationships, but it's meant for one covenant relationship that we have memories of it with our spouse. And that's what he's intending for it. And I think that's a good illustration to kind of summarize that point. And so as we're kind of closing, the last two things I want us to understand. So the next purpose we'll see is not that sex is just meant for man for mutual intimacy and enjoyment, but sex is meant for multiplication. Sex is meant for multiplication. And so what happens is, I think this is probably understandable, but sex is meant, really, God says, hey, I want you to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth. What we get to do is we get to partner with God in creating new life. Like, that's amazing. That's spectacular. I love what in Jeremiah chapter 29, basically Jeremiah is addressing the Israelites, and he's telling them the purpose of what you're supposed to do in the context of the relationship of marriage. And here's what he says in 4-7. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I carried you into exile. Pray for the Lord, because of it prosper, you will prosper. So what this verse is truly saying is that sex is never meant to be selfish. Sex is never meant to be selfish. It has a purpose to it. I think that's why the danger of pornography is so strong. It's because what happens is it's just selfish. It's selfish. It's self-seeking. What sex is meant to be between a man and a woman, what pornography twists it and it confuses it, and it makes it dangerous because it makes it selfish and for your own glory and your own benefit. And that's not what God designed it for. He designed it for producing new life. You get to partner with producing new life, partner with God and producing new life. When I think about this point, I think about my son. I've shown pictures of him before, but here's my son. He is 2.5. This is him. He woke up one morning and he literally came out of his room with a cowboy hat and swim goggles on. And so I don't know how he found those, but that's him. And he ran out of his room yelling, "Good morning." And every morning I wake up, I spend time in God's word, and then I hear him around 7:15, 7:30 yelling, "Hey, good morning." And he comes out of his room and he runs out of his room, happy as can be. And every time I look at him, I'm reminded of God's creativity, God's purpose, God's value, that God allowed me to partner with him in producing new life. And that's him. And it's just a reflection of God's creativity and his desire. And I'm reminded of that. And I love that. Like, I want you to think about God's crowning accomplishment. What do you think? If God designed the whole earth, what do you think he's most proud of? Like, it's not necessarily the mountain ranges or the sun and the stars or the sandy beaches or the amazing views. What God is most proud of is humanity, you and me. That's the crown of his accomplishment. And that's what he says, that we should partner with him to produce new life. So as we close, here's what I want to say. The last purpose for sex is that sex is meant for teaching about Jesus and the church. Sex is meant for teaching about Jesus and the church. That this act is an illustration that points to our union with God. I love what Ephesians 5 says, 31 to 32. It just says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church." So what God did right here is he created sex to be a powerful illustration with his commitment and his covenant love to us, that demonstrates God's heart for his people, that God says to his people, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Man, just imagine for a second if the world, our world that we're living in, chose to follow God's good design for sex. Imagine what would not be true of this world. I listed a few things. I think this is a really good point, is that there wouldn't be guilt and shame connected to sex. There wouldn't be sex trafficking, pornography, sexual transmitted diseases, sexual abuse. There wouldn't be a lot of harmful things because God has designed this thing to create freedom and joy and peace and unity when we follow it. And so as we close, I want to share with you guys just a story about my life. And so when elementary school, I remember every year my dad would pick me up and we would go on a camping trip. And I remember I got to miss like 4 days of school. It's amazing. I got to like wave to all my friends and they got to suffer at school while I got to leave early. It's the most amazing feeling, right? When your parents call and they're like, "Hey, we're picking you up," and you get to walk down and your mom's waiting for you, your dad's waiting for you, and you get to leave school early. I mean, that's the best feeling ever. And so I remember every year in a certain week, my dad would pick me up and I would just sit there and wait. I mean, I would stare at that clock. And I'd be sitting at my desk. I wasn't paying attention to anything. I was literally just staring, waiting for my dad to pick me up, waiting for that teacher to get that phone call from the front desk saying, "Hey, your dad's here." And I remember I loved that feeling because my dad, he was always leading me towards something better, right? He was always leading me to something more exciting, more joyful. Literally, I was getting to leave school early and go towards something better. And why I say that is because, man, that's our heart for you guys, is that you would trust God enough that he wants to lead y'all towards something better. So my question is, as I want you to reflect on as we close, is this. Do I trust God has my best interest in mind? Do you trust God has your best interest in mind? that he wants to lead you, that no good thing does he withhold for those who walk with integrity, who walk with him. And if you feel any doubt or shame or guilt in this area, I pray that you would walk out of here in freedom. That the gospel is a gospel of fresh starts and new beginnings. That he created us, and when we trust in him, it says that we are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. And so if you have any questions, or if you have any doubts or confusion or shame, my encouragement is that you would walk out of here and talk to your parents about this. That you wouldn't waste this Sunday without having a conversation with them. And you would talk to your leaders and your small group about it on this coming Wednesday. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll close. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that we would trust you. Lord, that we would trust you with our life. That we would believe that you have our best interest in mind. That you set up boundaries not to punish us, but to protect us, to help us experience more life and the abundant life. And I pray that there would be no shame or guilt attached to this topic, but only confidence, knowing that we can walk into a world holding the truth of God's word and ready and willing to share it with others. Lord, we love you, and we name you pray. Amen.